welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're going to pick up our study here in John chapter 20, verse number 20. John 20, verse 20. And when he had said so, Jesus having appeared to his disciples, they were there assembled for fear of the Jews on that first day of the week, Sunday, after the Lord had ascended to the Father and told Mary Magdalene to come and tell the disciples. And then Jesus comes and appears unto them, says unto them, peace be unto you. And when they saw Jesus, they were glad. It goes on to say in verse 21, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. And as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And so he sends, he tells his church, and he tells them there that I'm going to send you out. My Father has sent me for the work he gave me to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that. And he atoned for his people, and he came to be a witness to Israel, his nation. He built his church, and now he's commissioning his church to go out and to be sent as he was sent. Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so even so send I you. And then when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Or the Holy Spirit. He said, he had promised John the Baptist had even preached about it, that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that baptized with fire and with the Holy Spirit of God. Either the Lord would baptize those that were condemned, that rejected him and his gospel and the truth and the salvation in Christ. If they rejected that, the Lord Jesus Christ would baptize them in fire, with fire in hell and the lake of fire forever. That's what that means. What John the Baptist talks about there makes it very clear. He also says that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that that is referring to salvation. And not only that, but the baptizing of the Lord's church in the Holy Spirit also. And this is told, and we've read much about it in our study in this book of John, about the work of the Comforter, the work of the Holy Spirit, work of the Comforter in the Lord's church. He would not only commission them, but he has empowered them, one, to be there with them in his physical stead. And many things that the Lord said that the Comforter would do, he would teach them, he would remind them, he would instruct them in what Jesus tells the Holy Spirit to instruct his church or churches in. He would cause them to remember things that they had forgotten at the right time and such. He would do many things. He would comfort them and guide them and direct them as Jesus did when he was physically with his church. And so I think that that's the imparting of this Holy Spirit work of the Comforter upon his church. Receive ye the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retained, they are retained. And so along with this comes authority and responsibility. They always go together. Someone that's given responsibility to do a thing without the authority to do it, it finds himself very much in a quandary. But the Lord Jesus has commanded his church on what to do, to go, to be sent as he was sent, and to spread the gospel, to baptize believers, and to teach those believers that are baptized the all things that Jesus has commanded and will command through the writing of the New Testament and the gospels and the other epistles that the Lord will use the apostles and even some other men to write. To teach those things that the Lord has said and that those brethren will receive from the Lord for the sake of the church and the churches that will come from this first church. He said, here's whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. In Matthew chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ says the same thing in a different way, or the account is such. In Matthew 18:18, the scripture says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And so, responsibility is that not that the church will condemn sinners to hell or determine whether sinners are saved. That's not the case. But there's a responsibility that the church has. The membership of a local New Testament Baptist church have a responsibility to the Lord and one another to live righteously before this world. And so if a member of a church, one of the Lord's churches, begins to behave unsaved, it's that church's responsibility to call them on that and to hold them accountable for that. And whatever that church does regarding a member, heaven, the Lord himself, honors that. And that's what this is talking about. It's simply talking about, speaking about, church government. And then whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And so if they're remitted, it means that they are forgiven because of repentance. They have to be show godly sorrow and repentance. But if they are retained against them, whatever that church determines to be done regarding those of its membership that have been wicked and sinful and living like the world or living like they're unsaved, and the church makes that determination to call them on that, even remove them from the membership of the church, the Lord honors that and honors that in heaven. Now, with that responsibility, there is the authority, and then that responsibility is great. And so this is never something that should be abused by one of the Lord's churches by any means, but to be used by them as the Lord has given. Sometimes it is so that the Lord chastises even through his church. Now, how does this extend to those outside of the church? But it doesn't. It has nothing to do with anyone else. It's only the government of those members of that New Testament, local New Testament Baptist church. Verse number 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And so this first Sunday, when the Lord Jesus met with his church, this first day of the week, Thomas wasn't there. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So then after the Lord had met with the church, they saw Thomas, and they told him about it, and said, "We've seen the Lord, and it is truly him." And Thomas says, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." He said, "It cannot be. I've got to see that it was him that was crucified, and those nail prints, and that spear wound in his side, that will tell it. That will tell it." Now, we call Thomas Doubting Thomas. The thing is we need to not be critical of Thomas, because likely if you and I would have been there, we would have done the same thing as him. Thomas said, "If I see those witnesses that it is the Lord Jesus Christ, I will believe. I'll believe it. But until then, I'm just not going to accept anything else." Now, we do well to believe the Lord, and it had been best for Thomas to have been there with the group. That was his place. That's where he belonged. But nevertheless, he did look for right and scriptural evidence, not something else that he made up for himself. He said, and we got to understand, too, that the disciples had been in such turmoil. They thinking that the Lord Jesus would bring the kingdom of Israel to power, throw out the Romans, and establish Israel as the great nation that it had been in centuries before. But the Lord Jesus came first as Messiah, as Savior and Redeemer. And so they had expectation. Thomas had expectation of what the Lord would do, and what has happened has been different than his expectation. And so he's saying, I want to see, I just can't handle anything else but the real deal. And so when I see these witnesses, I'll believe. Verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were with them. And so, don't let the counting here confuse you. They counted the day present and then, 7 more days. This is again on the first day of the week, Sunday. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And so, the Lord Jesus appears to him again on the first day of the week, the first Sabbath, as they wrote, and we see in the Greek, the day of rest. Remember, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom when the Lord Jesus Christ died, when he gave up the ghost, when he yielded up his spirit and died, his body died, the veil of the temple rent in twain top to bottom. Judaism is being closed out. The Passover has been accomplished in Christ. Then the next day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice. Not one bit of sin. Not one thought of sin within him. And he is that unleavened bread. His body is that bread. And his blood is that drink, as he talks about even in John chapter 6. And so he fulfills that, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then the next day, we have the beginning of the Feast of Weeks, the next day or so, of the waving of the sheaf and the first fruits. And the scripture tells us plainly, Jesus is the first fruits. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. He rose from the dead first. He's the first fruits of his people. He leads the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. He's first. He's first in every way. And then he raises from the dead on this, at the end of the third day, on the Sabbath day, at the end of the Sabbath day or thereabouts, and he is alive and appears to his church on the first day of the week, rather than the day of rest, and the day of holy convocation, the people of God meeting together to worship him, rather than that being the last day of the week. Jesus has fulfilled all the law and offered a perfect sacrifice acceptable to God Almighty for the sins of his people. And now, on the first day of the week, his disciples, his church, will meet together to worship him. And so they're there, and he says, "Peace be unto you." Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, you too can be saved. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection for the salvation of your soul. Nothing you can pay, nothing you can buy, nothing you can promise. You need Jesus and him alone. We point you to him. Well, I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.